powerful earthquake shakes Seattle to its foundations.
I thought the building was going to break in half.
The quake sends shockwaves through the Pacific Northwest.
It hit so hard the water came out of my toilet on the floor.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. In Tacoma, a state high school basketball tournament was underway when the quake hit. It lasted no more than 30 seconds, but it was a powerful jolt, a magnitude 6.8 earthquake, the worst in the region since 1993. The quake shook office workers in Seattle.
We went straight to the stairway, right as we could. For sure, we were all really scared. It was single file line, a ton of people in the stairwell. The walls were cracked coming down the stairs, so it was scary.
The brick facades of some older buildings collapsed. More than two dozen people were injured, four critically. The quake was felt from Canada to Salt Lake City. It was centered about 35 miles southwest of Seattle. CBS radio affiliate KIRO talked to Mark in Olympia, Washington.
It hit so hard the water came out of my toilet on the floor. It was just bam, 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 and then it rocked and rolled.
Rich Petschke of Lakewood says his house felt like it was floating on water.
Things fell off of shelves in the interior of the house. A little glass broke. The ceiling fans were shaking in the house, and I was just... I kind of froze because I really didn't know what to do, so I stood in the doorway.
Thousands lost power and phone service was disrupted.
Due to the earthquake in the area you are calling, your call cannot be completed at this time. Please try your call later.
Seattle-Tacoma Airport was temporarily closed when the control tower had to be evacuated. Its windows shattered. Washington Governor Gary Locke says highway travel is also affected.
We have a lot of roads that are down where we've had mudslides or dirt slides, some bridges that are damaged and cannot be traveled upon.
Locke says the damage could run into the billions. President Bush has dispatched Joe Albaugh, head of the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
My administration stands ready to help in any way we can.
It could have been worse. Dr. John Unger of the U.S. Geological Survey says fault lines in the Pacific Northwest are very deep underground.
The earthquake was almost 30 miles beneath the surface. A lot of the energy from the seismic waves was dissipated by the time they reached the surface, and so the damage was much less than it would have been.
Fault lines are much closer to the surface in Southern California. There, a quake of similar magnitude could be devastating. Now this.
Drivers face many distractions in the car. Don't let your wireless phone be one of them. Before using your wireless phone while driving, ask yourself, will this call distract me from my first responsibility to drive safely? Also, use your phone's hands-free option. Remember, state laws prohibit distracted driving. The wireless phone industry reminds you to drive safely. Safety, your most important call. Visit www.driveresponsibly.org.
What a difference a day makes. Remember that old song? Hi. I'm David Orrick. I received thousands of letters telling me what a difference my American 8-pound hotel vacuum has made in their life. It's light, it's fast, it's hypoallergenic, and your carpets will look years younger. Try it for 30 days, and I'll give you my $100 cordless speed iron whether you keep the vacuum or not. Call 1-888-989-5000, 1-888-989-5000.
Members of Congress and the financial markets were forced to read between the lines as Alan Greenspan spoke on Capitol Hill today.
The economy appears to be on a track well below the productivity-enhanced rate of growth of its potential.
The Fed chairman also said we're on a path inconsistent with satisfactory economic performance. Those comments were taken as a strong hint the Fed is prepared to cut interest rates again. But when? The next meeting is March 20th, and Wall Street doesn't want to wait. The Dow dropped 141 points today. The Nasdaq lost 55. Last night, President Bush made his pitch to Congress. Today, he launched a five-state tour touting his tax cut plan to the people.
I know the rhetoric will be, oh, he's focused on the billionaires and all that business. That's called class warfare.
Meanwhile, back at the White House, the nuts and bolts of his budget plan were being released. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer has that.
To fund the president's agenda, the administration proposes cutting spending at least 10 departments and agencies. Budget Director Mitch Daniels wants to axe what he describes as programs that have failed or outlived their usefulness.
You don't have a lemon law for government programs in this town.
Daniels' lemon list includes some Justice Department grant programs and corporate subsidies, including low-rate loan guarantees for shipbuilders. But in the budget battle, some members of Congress and lobby groups will fight to save many targeted programs. Peter Mayer, CBS News, The White House.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
On Capitol Hill today, Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan said the current economic slowdown has not yet run its full course. NPR's Jim Zeroli has this report.
Testifying before the House Financial Services Committee, Greenspan was repeatedly asked for his views about President Bush's proposed tax cut, but he sidestepped most of the questions. He only repeated earlier comments that while he favors paying off the debt, an argument can also be made for a tax cut. He said at some point the government will pay off what it owes and have to put money into private investments, something he sees as a bad idea. Greenspan spoke at greater length about the current economic slowdown. He said businesses had expanded so quickly in recent years that they now have too much inventory and have to slow production. The result is falling corporate profits, an economy operating well below its growth potential, and the likelihood of higher unemployment.
Excesses built up in 1999 and early 2000 have engendered a retrenchment that has yet to run its full course.
But despite the slowdown, Greenspan suggested some reason for optimism. He said advances in technology have greatly increased productivity, and he said there's reason to think they will continue to do so long term. He also noted that despite the recent drop in consumer confidence surveys, people are still spending, at least for now. New home sales, while down last month, are still about what they were late last year, he noted.
All in all, the demand for homes, the demand for consumer durables, while scarcely where they were a year ago, have not matched the type of weakness that we've seen in the consumer confidence indexes.
This somewhat ambiguous picture painted by Greenspan was a disappointment to many investors. In recent days, as stock prices have fallen, many on Wall Street had come to believe that the Fed might lower interest rates again soon, perhaps before its March 20th meeting. But Sunwon Seon, chief economist at Wells Fargo Bank, says that seems unlikely now.
Based on the tone of Chairman Greenspan's testimony today, it doesn't look like he's really pushing a panic button.
The financial markets responded to Greenspan's remarks with gloom. Bond prices were down, and stock prices, which have lost considerable ground in recent weeks, fell again for the day. The NASDAQ Composite Index is now down 58% since its high last year. Jim Zeroli, NPR News, New York.
Spreading concern over foot and mouth disease in Europe. That story coming up on All Things Considered. This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. The French government has ordered the slaughter of 50,000 sheep, hoping to forestall an outbreak of foot and mouth disease. The highly contagious virus has hit livestock on several farms across Britain. European countries are taking drastic precautions to prevent it spreading to the continent. NPR's Sarah Chase reports.
This latest in an apparently endless streak of European food disasters hits at the worst possible time for sheep farmers and traders. Monday is Eid al-Kabir, a Muslim holiday when every family is supposed to slaughter a sheep. Here in France, where there's a large Muslim population, some sheep dealers do as much as a quarter of their yearly trade this week. France has not yet detected any cases of the disease, but sheep imported recently from Britain had antibodies for it in their blood, so they and any that have come in contact with them are being slaughtered. 50,000 animals so far. Unlike mad cow disease, foot and mouth disease is not considered dangerous to humans. The animals are being destroyed to keep them from infecting others. Because the malady is extremely contagious. It can be carried on fur or clothing, shoes, tires, even in the air. So now Europe, whose increasingly integrated economy includes a busy international trade in livestock, is in another panic. There's a total ban on the movement of all British animals. Belgium and Germany, like France, are slaughtering sheep and goats. Portugal, a popular holiday destination for the British, is requiring travelers to sterilize their shoes at the airport. The looming epidemic has had other effects. International rugby's popular Six Nations tournament is on hold. A match between Ireland and Wales was cancelled because Dublin was afraid Irish fans would carry the virus back on their clothes. Bernard Lapassoul, the head of the French Rugby Federation, says the matches will probably be halted till May.
En tout cas, le comité des six nations se réunira vendredi dans l'après-midi pour analyser cette situation.
He says the Six Nations Committee will meet Friday to analyze the situation. It'll try to come up with new dates for the tournament. La Pasul says the interruption in the schedule will be longer than expected. Experts here and in Britain point once again to industrialized agriculture as the culprit in this crisis. The mad cow epidemic, said to be caused by feeding cheap, contaminated bone meal to cows, seemed to demonstrate the danger of economies of scale in farming. But over the past 10 years, 1,000 British slaughterhouses have been closed, leaving just 400 for the whole country. The consequences are multiple. Animals have to be transported a long way before slaughter. That makes them more stressed and disease-prone. If they're already sick, it means they can infect animals all along their route, which is often hundreds of miles long. And if they're penned up in large transit centers, they're almost sure to infect the other animals there. The myriad measures taken to combat the spread of the disease in Britain include closing rural footpaths and halting mail deliveries to farms, and canceling horse races for at least the next week. Today, cases of foot and mouth disease were confirmed in Northern Ireland, the first proof that the disease has left the British mainland. Sarah Chase, NPR News, Paris.
As Europe works to control the outbreak of foot and mouth disease, U.S. scientists are watching carefully. The disease hasn't been seen in this country since 1929, but experts say an outbreak could be triggered by something as small as a speck of contaminated dirt on the shoe of an international visitor. NPR's Joanne Silberner reports now on what an outbreak could mean in the United States.
To get an idea of how seriously American scientists take foot and mouth disease, consider how microbiologist David Huxall and his colleagues get to work.
We come here by boat.
Huxall is the director of a U.S. Department of Agriculture laboratory on Plum Island, just off the coast of Long Island, New York.
When Congress passed the law that the United States could, in fact, work on foot and mouth disease, they mandated that it be done on the coastal island, separated from the mainland, and not connected by a tunnel or a bridge.
That's because the virus that causes foot and mouth disease can be spread so easily. Plum Island Lab has been there since 1948. It's the only place in the United States where scientists are allowed to keep the virus. Researchers at Plum Island are trying to develop a safe and effective vaccine. When they get to work each day, they have to shower, remove all jewelry, and change into lab clothes. At the end of the day, they have to shower, scrub thoroughly, and shampoo carefully before putting on their street clothes and getting back on the boat. Huxall says that's not because anyone is particularly worried about people's safety.
Man can become infected, but it really produces no disease of any consequence.
And in fact, it's rare that the virus is found in people, so no symptoms and no problems for humans. But they can transmit the virus to susceptible animals, and that's why the British outbreak concerns Huxall.
The threat is obviously to our livestock industry.
The virus sickens cloven-hoofed animals, cattle, pigs, sheep, goats, deer. It doesn't necessarily kill them, but it leaves them with painful blisters on their mouths and feet. The animals grow thin and debilitated and not marketable. When a country suffers an outbreak, other countries tend to ban imports of animals or animal products. Harley Moon is a veterinary microbiologist at Iowa State University and a former director of Plum Island. He sees an important similarity between foot and mouth disease and another scourge of European livestock, mad cow disease.
Both of them are hugely economically important because of the impacts that they have had on the cattle industry and the influence that they have on international trade in cattle and cattle products.
But he says foot and mouth disease is actually a greater threat to livestock.
Both of them are infectious diseases. That is, they can, by one means or another, be transmitted from one individual to another. But foot and mouth disease is one of the most highly communicable diseases known. It is readily spread by aerosols. Huge amounts of the virus can be blown out in a single exhaled breath by a pig.
Carried by the wind and breathed in by other animals. Whereas mad cow disease is believed to be transmissible only through direct contact with an infected animal's brain or spinal fluid. People can carry the foot and mouth disease virus in their throats, on their clothing, or in dirt on their shoes. Walking near susceptible animals as much as a week later can spread it. The virus can reside in meat, and if that meat is discarded and pigs eat the refuse, the disease can spread. Still, it's been more than 70 years since the last U.S. outbreak. Again, microbiologist David Huxall.
We have a vigilant group of people at our ports of entry of various products that could be brought into the country and could be the source of the infection. And we've also been lucky, I guess.
Late last year, the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the governments of Canada and Mexico ran a simulation of a foot-and-mouth outbreak in Texas to see if the lines of communication between the three countries are working properly. A preliminary analysis showed there's room for improvement. It suggested that the U.S. spend more time and money preparing for a possible outbreak. Joanne Silberner, NPR News, Washington.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Ann Taylor. A strong earthquake hit the Seattle, Washington area today, injuring at least 50 people and closing the Seattle airport. At 6.8, it was the strongest earthquake in Washington state in more than 50 years, and the governor declared a state of emergency in the western part of the state. Several hundred thousand people lost power, but experts do not predict aftershocks. Kathy DeChamp of member station KUOW reports from Seattle.
The earthquake shattered windows, crumbled parts of buildings, and sent frightened people running into the streets of Seattle. But scientists do not expect any repeat performances. Seismologist Craig Weaver.
For us here in the Northwest, we're used to these kinds of deep earthquakes, which typically come without any aftershocks. That means if you're a seismologist, we can now spend the afternoon sort of honing what we know about this one earthquake. But unlike, say, maybe our colleagues in Southern California or the Bay Area, they'd be swamped enough to their ears with aftershocks. We don't expect aftershocks from this particular earthquake.
Weaver says he's most concerned about landslides triggered by unstable soil. Residents in the region felt the rolling and shaking at different times. Scientists say that's because it takes time for the shockwaves to travel through the Earth's crust. For NPR News, I'm Kathy Duchamp in Seattle.
On Capitol Hill, Congress is continuing to look into the last-minute pardons that former President Clinton granted to 176 people. They want to see if there was any link to campaign contributions. NPR's Mara Liasson has more on that story.
Today, a House Judiciary Committee panel heard from former Clinton Justice Department pardon attorney Margaret Love. Love said the final Clinton pardons were an accident waiting to happen. Love said once the Clinton White House decided to bypass the Justice Department's review process for pardons, a free-for-all ensued, and that led to the appearance of cronyism and influence peddling. On Thursday, another House committee will hear from three former White House aides about how Mr. Clinton came to pardon fugitive billionaire Mark Rich. The committee is trying to determine whether Rich's ex-wife's contributions to Democratic causes had anything to do with the pardon. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.
Testifying again today on Capitol Hill, Federal Reserve Board Chairman Alan Greenspan said that the current economic slowdown has yet to run its full course. Greenspan blamed much of the current weakness on an effort by business to cut back quickly on production in light of a decline in sales. The Fed chairman noted that heavy inventories have built up over the last 2 years. Greenspan also noted that consumer confidence is key in terms of whether there will be a recession. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrials lost 142 points to end at 10,495 on volume of more than 1 billion shares. NASDAQ was down by 56 points in active trading. This is NPR News.